Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the program. I'm your host, Trey Ibarra, and we have a fantastic show in store for you today. My special guest is on the phone from the great state of Illinois, and he's written an outstanding book, The Leanness Lifestyle, Proven Strategies to Sculpt Your Body, Heal Your Mind, and Become Better Today. Best-selling author David Greenwald received his Bachelor of Science degree in 1987 from Western Illinois University. He began his incredible journey in 1987, and which has evolved into the fourth edition of this outstanding book. He received his certification as a certified strength and conditioning specialist, and he's here today to challenge us to become better. Welcoming him to the program today is best-selling author David Greenwald. David, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Ray. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure here to finally get to talk to you here and go over your outstanding book and your work. For our viewing audience, give them a little background about yourself and how you started in this project here.
Well, you know, I've always been interested in fitness, and I've always had kind of a passion for it. I used to piddle with weights as a youngster, even when I was 12 or 13 years old, but nothing serious. But even back then, I loved the pump, and I always liked the look of people who were exceptionally fit and had above-average muscularity. So as a child, I looked at that. I mean, I remember watching old Incredible Hulk TV episodes with Lou Ferrigno, and I just thought, my gosh, that would just be the best. I mean, if I could just get like that. Well, you know, I never got like that, but it was definitely something that I had an interest in at a very early age. And I got my first taste of getting serious about training with at the beginning of my senior year of high school, and that was in 1982. And someone I didn't really know that well invited me, and he had really built a great physique himself. I felt honored to have him ask me to come work out with the guys at the dungeon at the local YMCA. You know, the equipment was old and ratty and just enough to get us by, but we were able to do, you know, all we needed to do with it. That's where I really got my start, 1982, the beginning of my senior year in high school. And I can honestly say that it's now been 23 years, and it's consistency. I have not taken more than 2 weeks off in a row in 23 years.
You know, Dave, that is absolutely amazing. You're talking about consistency here, which definitely seems to be a challenge in our culture, our fast-paced, fast-food culture here, as evidence of the fact that there's over 60% of us here in the United States, or which translates over to 100 million people, have a problem with weight. Why is that so? That's an absolutely amazing statistic.
Well, that's obviously that's an incredibly complex question. And as I tell my clients, you know, incredibly complex questions have very simple, easily stated answers, and those easily stated answers will be wrong. So that's one of the reasons that I wrote the book, is because trying to answer that question or questions, the dozens of questions like that, that are kind of specific for individuals about what's going to be best for them or how should they best approach the whole weight loss journey, body transformation journey, is really a complex question, and it requires kind of an in-depth analysis in certain areas and an evaluation, and they have to acquire certain knowledge before they can really proceed intelligently. And so, you know, one of the primary reasons that Americans are overweight is because we're adapted to that type of behavior. I mean, we are driven to consume highly, densely calorie-laden foods, and those foods are far more prevalent now, far easier for us to access than ever before. That's the simple answer that, if just left all by itself, would not tell the whole story. But, you know, we're a push-button society, and we don't have to be as physical as we used to even 20 or 30 years ago. And the calorie-laden, calorie-dense foods are just far more available than they ever have been. That would be the nutshell, you know, answer for why Americans are overweight. But we are certainly driven behaviorally toward that type of activity and in search of the calorie-dense foods and relaxation.
You know, David, you so eloquently wrote, and this is a really eye-opening point for me here. You're talking about our fast food society, and you also have written about nature's fast foods, which are fruits, vegetables. I had never heard that before, but that was such a very eloquent point. And elaborate on that. Why have we gotten away from that?
Convenience. Time. What's amazing is that even though in this digital age that we're in, and even though we have, you know, we should have more time available because we have so many modern conveniences, we really don't have more time. We have filled up that time with other stuff. And I can say that as a father of three kids, and I hear this all the time from parents just like me, that our kids are far busier than I was as a kid. And there's a lot more for them to do and to be involved in. And what's happened is just because we have dishwashers and clothing washers and, you know, everything is push button and our transportation methods are more convenient and faster and all of that, we have simply filled that time with more stuff. And we continue as a society to live a rat race life. And we just are stressed. We are busy beyond what is comfortable. And we are in search, a lot of times, even though we don't realize it, we are in search for relaxation. And one way or another, we're going to relax. And a lot of times, no activity, like no exercise, and the overconsumption of feel-good foods is being used, or they're being used to provide that relaxation that we are not providing ourselves because of our rat race lifestyles.
And absolutely, David, and the lack of education plays such a big, important point about this whole subject here. I'm referring to the story of the soccer mom about when you had written in there, but she gave her daughter a bacon and egg breakfast before her soccer match, and that type of lack of education is passed down from the parent to the child, which creates another generation of people that don't know of anything about nutrition and health.
Absolutely, and one of the great things about the program, and this is what members tell me all the time, and it really does make me feel good, is that with the leanest lifestyle, when you learn it, it's kind of, I'll say kind of two things. One, I say this, let's learn lifestyle and weight loss one more time for the last time. Because so many of my clients come to me with, just a plethora of information about weight loss and calories and body transformation and exercise. And some of it's okay, and some of it's grossly inaccurate. So I say, let's learn it again. Step out, reach out one more time. Let's learn it again one more time for the last time. Let's acquire the knowledge. And when you acquire the knowledge that's in the leanest lifestyle and beyond, the great thing about it is you will feel great passing it on to your kids and grandkids and those in your circle that are closest to you. You'll never feel guilty about learning and practicing what I wrote. And that was the intent of my book, was to make it very conversational so that anyone could read and understand it. It isn't geared, you know, just for bodybuilders or whatever. It's geared for everyday men and women. And that once you learn the information, you would have no regrets, none, about following it. You would be able to show it to your doctor and get an applause and a standing ovation from the clinic. And you would feel very comfortable in teaching and implementing this in your own family.
Okay, we're going to go to a photo now of your family here, David. And I think that this is a very important point here. We have you and your beautiful wife, Tracy, and your beautiful three children. And the proof is in the pudding here. You know, I always say that if you're going to do something well, you have to learn from the best. And we're seeing the best here on the screen with you and your family right here. And this is very important for other families to see that it can be done in a family setting, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, it's one of the reasons that, you know, in you know, the program that we have, that I encourage family members to participate. Because if I can get a family unit speaking the same language here, the chance of the individuals in that home becoming healthier and leaner really, really goes up. Now, we never let it be an excuse if there's only one person out of five that is going to do it, because that's very common as well. But if we can get even just one other person in the home, especially if we get mom and dad, right, or the two central people in the home to do it, oh my goodness, the chances of success go up immensely.
Now, Dave, we have you and your beautiful wife in the photo there and your three children. And the funny thing I noticed about, the interesting thing I noticed about that photo is that every one of you are cut. All of you have abs. It's just absolutely amazing. It's your wife, Tracy, and why don't you give us the names of your children here, your boys and your daughter?
Okay, the oldest one in the center there with blonde hair to on the right side of me, that's Steven. He's the oldest. And believe it or not, I'm looking at the picture just like you are. He is 16 now. Uh-huh. And, you know, just got his driver's license. So I'm looking at him there, and it's really just kind of fun to see. But, yeah, that's Steven. To the left of me, that's Christopher. That's my middle child. And then to the right of Tracy is Elizabeth.
Now, your beautiful wife was with you at the beginning of this whole journey, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And when she has done some speaking from time to time, she, you know, she's not afraid to say that she says that I wrote the book for her. Mm-hmm. And she says that because she's been a weight fighter her entire life. She's lighter now than she was when she was in eighth grade. And that's not because she was a twig in eighth grade and now she's a rail and, you know, and a stick figure. That's not it. She was heavy. She was heavy most of her childhood. And she's in far better condition now and actually does weigh less than when she was in eighth grade. So she's been a weight fighter and will continue. I want to stress this. She will continue to be a weight fighter her whole life.
You know, David, a very, very interesting point here, and this is that when I saw what you had written in your book here, it just struck a real deep chord with me. I always tell people that, you know, don't ever strive for perfection. Just progress, and you will hit that perfection, but you got to start somewhere. And like you say, just do it. I love that philosophy, the Nike philosophy, and it's one that I implemented in my life, and that's why I was so excited when I read it. Explain the simplicity, but yet the beauty of that concept that you have for people who are starting the program.
Well, the thing about Just Do It, which, you know, Nike was very brilliant when they came up with that, and so many people are familiar with it. But really, it's about, you know, taking action. And there are, you know, there are many stages of change, and people listening to this or watching this right now are at a various one of probably six stages. And they could be pre-contemplator, as we call it. They could be a contemplator. They could be in preparation, getting ready to begin. They could be in action. They could be in maintenance. Maybe they've already succeeded and they're maintaining and they're dealing with that. Or they could be what's called termination. But for weight loss, that stage doesn't really exist. And that's why I say, even I said, you know, for my wife, Tracy, she's a weight fighter and will be for life. She will always be in maintenance, not termination. Termination is really where, you know, you don't have to put out any perceived effort to maintain what you've got. For weight loss, if you're a weight fighter, you'll never, ever, ever reach termination. And that's just a mindset, again, through knowledge and education, that once you accept that, you know you're always going to have to paddle a little bit on the river to hold your position. But as far as the simplicity of just do it, it's about taking action. There's only one thing that is ever going to change the position that you are now in, and that is taking action. If you're feeling down and blue about your weight or you're not feeling that great about what's going on, you have to act your way out of it. You have to take some action and get going. And once you take action, then the other things will begin to fall into place. As I tell the members, you don't have to have everything perfect to begin. You don't have to have all your ducks in a row. You don't have to get everything all lined up just right. You just have to begin. Now, it does make sense, as the saying goes, that if you're going to climb that ladder really fast and hard, the ladder really should be leaning against the right building. Well, the thing,
right,
you know,
that's a good point.
How many times have we climbed the ladder really hard only to find out once we got to the top it was leaning against the wrong building and we shouldn't have climbed the ladder at all? So the thing about the leanest lifestyle is when you climb the ladder hard, if you do take action based on the fundamentals that I've written in my book and program, then you are going to achieve success. You're going to feel really good about it. You'll feel really good about helping and teaching others what you've learned. And action, or just do it, action is the only way out of whatever situation you're in that you don't like. You have to take action. You can't wait for motivation like a lightning bolt to strike you. Motivation will come after action, not the other way around. Usually people will feel very unmotivated sometimes until they take the first step. And so it's incredibly important to take action, begin, let the motivation build, then continue to use other strategies to help keep that motivation going, keep it building, and keep you going on the path toward a great transformation.
Now, David, something else that you wrote here that I thought was a very incredibly insightful was the word fear and the letters associated with fear. Explain to our audience what those words mean in the word fear, those letters.
Give me the reference that you're speaking of specifically there, Ray.
False evidence that appears real.
Oh, so absolutely. That's just something that I took that right from Zig Ziglar.
Huh.
That came from, I mean, Zig is a mentor of mine. I love his stuff, and as do, you know, millions of people. I think he's incredible. But there is a great fear of failing again, or there's a great fear that you're going to put yourself out there again, and that those around you are going to see that you're putting yourself out there, and you're not going to make it. But I got to say that, you know, there's a saying by Dr. Susan Jeffers as well that goes, feel the fear and do it anyway. And that goes right along with this. The false evidence appearing real, you can really play mind games with yourself by not beginning, but playing this loop tape in your head over and over and over again about everything you've done in your past, all these times you tried and you didn't succeed, all the programs you were on and all the money you've spent on weight loss programs and nutritionists and personal trainers or whatever, and you still haven't achieved that either that first weight loss success or lasting weight loss success. You just have to put that to bed. You have to acquire the knowledge, make sure that ladder is really leaning against the right building, and you have to take some action. You have to begin. As the saying goes, it's the start that stops most people.
So, yeah, absolutely, David. And we here in this culture, you know, we see images of perfection everywhere on TV, on the billboards, and in the bookstores, that we have to have this this perfection before we can begin anything. But as you have written in your book, that you have to fail and sometimes fail miserably first in order to succeed.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, I got to go back to, you know, a quote that is at least attributed to Thomas Edison, and it had to do with when he was, you know, I think perfecting the initial you know, light bulb or whatever, and he had tried, bear with me, 1,000 or 999 different filaments and so forth, and couldn't get it to burn right, couldn't get it to burn very long, and the people were being very judgmental, and basically said to him, so, you know, you failed, you know, 999 or 1,000 times, and he says, I haven't failed 1,000 times, I've just found 1,000 things that don't work.
Absolutely, and, right, that it, is, we think that things have just all of a sudden popped up and we're just there, but it takes a tremendous amount of, as we talked about earlier, consistency and stick-to-itiveness and a willing to learn new things and incorporate all of those habits into our lifestyles, and it's you know, it's not a quick fix. It's a lifelong process, is it not?
Absolutely. That's why I say, when I kind of quickly went through the stages of change, you know, people that are weight fighters that are struggling around with their weight, or that are going to continue to struggle with their weight, or that are going to achieve lasting weight loss success, they're always going to have to work at it. I guess the best way to say it, Ray, is the analogy I give when I'm teaching my class, and I talk about, you know, if you can just imagine yourself in a one-man kayak or one-person kayak on a river, what you have to understand first is that that kayak is on a river. It's not on a lake. And that river represents the resistance or the forces working against you for maintaining your weight. Now, that kayak, as you're sitting in it, is pointing upstream, and you're paddling. Now, if you can imagine that if you hold your position on the river, that's maintenance. Now, if you paddle extra hard and you move up current, that's weight loss. And if you pull your oar up out of the water, what's going to happen? You're going to go downstream. Downstream is weight gain. What people really have to understand is, and what the other point I want to make is, this is for life. Now, on any river, regardless of where you are, there are times where it's really stormy. There are times where the wind's blowing hard, it's raining hard, there's flash flood conditions. Those are the really stressful, traumatizing times in your life. That's the divorce. That's the loss of a loved one. That's all kinds of things that go on in our lives that really throw us for a loop. Someone got cancer, whatever it may be. There are other times where the river's running really calmly. It's almost like glass. And you seem to be paddling effortlessly to maintain your position or move forward. And that's how it is. So there are times where it's a torrential downpour. There are times where it's very calm. But in all times, what you have to keep in mind in this lifelong ideal for achieving a great transformation, lasting weight loss, is that you're always in a kayak pointed upstream on a river. You're not on a lake. You can't pull your oar up out of the water, ever.
That's a very good point, David. You know, so many times we want to take a pill and somehow magically see us transformed the next day. Or we take a certain amount of vitamins and minerals, which are important, of course, but we think that that's going to do all of the work for us. There's no quick fix to this thing. Just as you write also that the variety is very important when you're on your course to changing yourself with your food. The chicken breast, the peas, the popcorn that you wrote about.
Oh my gosh.
You know, that's important. You write that variety is important. Talk to us more about that.
Oh my gosh. When I was in college and I did my first bodybuilding show, I came from about 205 or 210 pounds at that time, and I won't tell the whole story, but I was a hard gainer. So I learned to eat poorly because I gained weight hard. I was not an overweight child. As my senior year in high school, when I started lifting weights, I was 5'11", 140 pounds. So I learned that if I wanted to put on mass and muscle and get big, like the people that I kind of admired, I needed to eat. And I learned to eat until I couldn't tie my shoes. That would put on weight for me. And so I had a good speedy metabolism, but once I got into my early 20s, mid-20s, I had already noticed a small shift. Well, anyway, that first bodybuilding show, I had gotten my weight up to about 205 or 210 pounds. I had plenty of fat on me, and I dropped to 160 pounds in 8 weeks. So I lost about 40-some pounds in 8 weeks, which is just insane, and I hated it. I hated the process. I did it very Neanderthalish. I did not do it with the knowledge I have now. I've now done three bodybuilding shows since then in my 30s and enjoyed them. But back then, it was chicken breast being boiled in my dorm room and peas and popcorn, plain popcorn as a snack. That's it. I mean, I was a college kid. I didn't have any money. So my food limitations were just really severe. And plus, I thought that's what it took. That's what you had to do to get super lean, was just live on like four or five foods and suffer through it. And suffer I did. I swore I'd never do a bodybuilding show. Of course, that was in 87. And then I broke that by, once I had acquired the knowledge, at least some of the knowledge, really just a fraction of the knowledge that I teach now, the process was so much easier. It was so much better, so much healthier. And then I realized, my gosh, what I was taught as a young bodybuilder is what everybody's taught to get this weight off, and it's stupid. And no wonder I hated it. And once I had learned and researched enough, once I had learned some strategies that worked for me, and the next time I did it, I'm in my 30s, and I had to drop the body fat again. And by then, that fast metabolism I had as a child was still pretty fast. But see, I had learned eating behaviors as a teenager that was a member of the eat until you can't tie your shoes, and that's how you put on weight. Well, that carried over.
Uh-huh.
It carried over for me into my 30s, except that in my 30s, eating till I couldn't tie my shoes continuously just got me fatter and fatter and fatter.
You know, Dave, we have a few minutes left in the program here. I want to touch on this because I think it's such an important point here. How important are goals in this whole process?
You're sunk without them. I mean, it's that simple. And one of the things that you talked about before about, you know, getting motivation and keeping that motivation, that's, you know, I always say it's pretty easy. The Monday morning starts, I'm against them. And I write in my book, I'm against the Monday morning starts. Because typically what happens is people come off a weekend, they do it like it's their last meal ever. They come off that weekend, they binge, if they consume alcohol, they overconsume alcohol. They do all this stuff as though it's the last time they're ever going to get to eat. Monday morning, they're rip-roaring ready to go. By Wednesday, they're done. And the thing about having a goal is that's a part of the intelligent process when you know how to set a goal. And when you learn how to set a goal that is achievable, that is aggressive, but that is, you know, doable for you, it's critical. And it's critical to the whole mindset of maintaining the motivation so that you can continue paddling instead of pulling that oar up out of the water. It's critical. If you don't have a goal, and the goal isn't reasonable, and the goal isn't public, and the goal isn't written, you are not going to succeed.
Yeah, Ed, that's such an important point, because goals are as you say, as you wrote so eloquently in your book on the chapter where when we take off in an airplane, 90% of the time we go off course, but then you have those goals that keep you going in the direction that you're supposed to be going, because, you know, so what happens along the way is that, you know, we can't see the trees in the forest. We're so busy trying to accomplish what we want to accomplish, it's easy to get off course, correct?
Absolutely, and what happens is, you know, you wake up that Monday morning after the massive weekend, which, again, I'm against, because you shouldn't have the mindset that this is your last meal ever. Because the way my program is structured, Ray, I have a splurge meal, and that's what I call it that. It's not an accident. It's a splurge meal, not a cheat meal. Let me ask you something, Ray. If I was to cheat on my wife, Tracy, how would that be thought of?
Oh, God, that wouldn't be a very good thing. That would be really bad, actually, yeah.
All right, how about cheating on a test?
Absolutely.
Not thought of as a positive quality. It's thought of as almost kind of sinful. It's negative. But yet that's what we call treat foods a lot of times, a cheat meal. I'm going to have a cheat meal. Really? What are you cheating on? That's a negative connotation to a food that you can probably enjoy. I call it a splurge. You know, and so it's a splurge meal. And I have one of those, at least one of those every week. And in maintenance, I get to have two or three. But if I'm losing, and I'm in a cutting phase, I'm doing another show, or I'm really getting my body fat low, I still have one a week, and I tell all of my members, all the people that follow the program, to also have one a week. So if you're losing, you still should have one a week. You should not try to give up your favorite foods for the rest of your life. So there's no reason to come off that weekend with I just had my last favorite food ever. No, you can have it every week. Just don't have it 5 days a week.
Dave, that's an extremely wonderful point, and unfortunately we're out of time. We have to end it here, my friend. Would you come back on the program and let's continue this great conversation?
It would be my pleasure.
Dave, it's been a pleasure here. Ladies and gentlemen, go out and get yourself a copy of The Leanness Lifestyle, Proven Strategies to Sculpt Your Body, Heal Your Mind, and Become Better Today by best-selling author David Greenwalt. It's been a pleasure being with you on Optimal Health. If you have any questions or comments about the program, there's a phone number and an email address at the end of the show. Until next time, this is your host, Ray Ibarra. Take care and God bless you. Have a great week.